broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. From Boots to Biz Radio, sharing helpful information and practical insight about the franchise industry for the military veteran entrepreneur. Now, here's your host, Bill Williams.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to From Boots to Biz Radio, where we are indeed advocates for veteran entrepreneurism among military veterans, obviously, military spouses, and first responders. And usual wingman Kevin Finn is over here. Sorry, Finn. Yes, I should not forget that.
You shouldn't forget that's your grandson's new name.
That's right. Finn. That's right. So Kevin Finn, everybody, helping us, trying to keep us on the narrow track.
I do my best. You got to stay on top of me.
It's a full-time job, too. Well, today we have four entrepreneurs with us, and all veterans, and different stories. And I think it'd be it's a great way to promote, more entrepreneurism, more business ownership among veterans out there. So, I'm going to jump right in and start off with. Let me read off the names to everybody first. We have Brandon Skolnick and Alexander McVikin here, and we have Dan Beverly, sorry, Dan, and Brent Williams. And Brent, disclaimer, we're not related. As far as we know, anyway, right? Yeah.
Not to our knowledge.
They sort of look alike. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So Brandon and Alex have an interesting business, and I met them, probably 4 months ago now?
Yeah.
And so why don't you, go ahead and take over. Tell us a little bit about your military background and then how you migrated into business, and we'll ask you a few questions along the way.
All right. I'm Brandon, Army vet, OEF, OIF, PSYOP, Psychological Operations.
Okay, OEF, for those of old guys.
Operation Enduring Freedom, Afghanistan, and then OIF is Iraq.
Okay.
Yeah. So I rolled into the reserves after active duty, which is where I met Alex, and we actually deployed together in 2009-2010 to Helmand to support the Marine Corps. I'm a full-time entrepreneur with Sable Mobile and Sable Investments, full-time student at KSU, and currently still in the Army Reserves.
Alex?
I'm currently in the Army Reserves still, same unit as Brandon, which is, again, where we met. I graduated UGA with a BA in International Affairs and started getting involved with Brandon about half a year ago, and we ended up founding Sable Mobile.
Okay, and let's spell that out. Sable Mobile.
S-A-B-O-T.
Sabot.
T silent.
Okay,
all right. And mobile, M-O-B-I-L-E, because we deal with mobile homes.
Right.
Okay.
Right. What Sable Mobile is it conducts a systemized improvement process to mobile home parks who are experiencing high vacancy rates directly related to a large number of distressed homes inside the park. The rehab itself is backed by private lenders, much like sticks and bricks side of real estate investing. However, it's a lower risk with competitive returns and a stable term.
And a much faster turn, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, we provide three products to our clients and customers, one being the short-term note-secured investment opportunities to our passive investors, two being the improvement and renovation service that we provide to the mobile home park owners, and three being the updated and marketable mobile homes that we sell to prospective buyers.
Okay. Okay. And the business, how long have you been doing this now?
The mobile home side, about 6 months.
Six to eight months. Yeah. It's really getting in the startup phase, but it's picked up pretty rapidly from what you've told me.
Absolutely. What's great about mobile homes and mobile home business is that if you don't like what you're doing, or don't like a system that you're using or a process that you're using, next week you can try a new one because you turn them over so fast.
And the capital required is pretty low.
Yeah.
That's definitely a plus.
So average investment or capital to refurb a home or mobile home is what?
Well, our private lenders are tied to each individual mobile home, but it's a $2,500 buy-in.
Okay.
When I was doing sticks and bricks, it was more like $50,000 buy-in.
Yeah.
To back a
big difference there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Harder to find that bigger number.
Yeah.
So all right. So you how many years did you spend in the Army?
Between both the reserve and active, about a decade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've been in the reserves for about 7 years.
About 7 years? Okay. Okay. So, you know, military experience and business, you know, how do you find that transition, you know, helping you out or not helping you out, or, you know, where have you found the rough edges, and you know, how can you help other people out there who might be listening make that same step?
You know, I think it's been a great benefit. You know, everyone points to that SBA study that says that, you know, disproportionately veterans are more likely to be entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the military experience definitely prepared us. It gives you a bit of determination and creative problem solving whenever you have to make decisions. And definitely, you know, you can overcome the risk a bit more because it's not the worst thing you've
done. A little easier. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know.
Absolutely. So out of all the things you guys could have done, why did you guys choose this? It's really – it's an awesome idea. I love it. But what led this? I bet you had about a million other ideas being entrepreneurs that ran through your head that you guys talked about before this.
Well, actually, how we got into the mobile home business specifically was I was at a networking meeting. We came upon an individual named Brandon Diaz who does something similar, and he's a Marine veteran, does something very similar up in Chattanooga, and he teaches for Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And so we linked up, and we had a lot of conversations, and we're actually partners to a degree and some educational things. So it's pretty cool. And that's how we got into mobile homes specifically.
Awesome. Okay, so you saw the model somewhere else.
Similar model, yeah.
Similar model, okay.
Yeah.
And thought, hey, that might work down here in the Atlanta market. But really, people out there that are, I mean, this broadcast is internet, so it's going anywhere, right? Yeah, Mars, Jupiter. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, the business model could be applied virtually anywhere if people wanted to follow it.
Yeah, that's definitely one of our large focuses is we're trying to focus on getting our system locked in and improving it and getting all the systems to where we can franchise it out.
Yep.
And one of the big things we're looking at is franchising out to other veterans getting out of the service since there's a great deal of people getting out of the service now with the downsizing. And, you know, we find that the experience in small unit tactics really lends itself to the same kind of team focus we have with doing our business model.
So it's the old team focus but individual accountability, individual responsibility. You got to do your job to keep the team going, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So small unit tactics. I haven't heard that phrase for a while.
I think there's an FM on it.
But, it's somewhere it's greened in there and it'll never get out.
So what was the hardest part about starting this for you? But starting a business is definitely not easy.
Absolutely. I think the hardest part was, and it's a lot different than the sticks and bricks side, it was finding contractors who are knowledgeable about rehabilitating mobile homes.
Yeah.
There's a few and far between. So
I think for me, there's been a lot of a learning curve in the law side of it and understanding the government's role in running a business. One thing that we found is that mobile homes have a lot of very specific laws, and you really have to dive into this other world to understand it.
So there's different laws about governing home ownership in the mobile
as to mobile units are personal property. They're not considered real estate.
Okay.
The taxation of it and the ordinances behind it, local and state, it's confusing.
Okay. I can imagine.
So how so you go into a mobile home park, I guess, right? And you present your business idea or business model proposal to the manager or the owner?
Well, we do a little bit of research through the manager, but we partner with the park owner.
Okay.
Or owners. Okay. This is a mutual benefiting.
Definitely. Yeah. Makes it look a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely. We do a lot of other investing, you know, not just the rehab, but we also market their park and we do some cleanup around the park. We direct advertising and such like that.
So, okay. Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot of, I mean, you become really tied to the park.
Absolutely.
And ongoing success, right? Yeah. Now, do you retain some ownership of those units, or that's not your goal, though, right?
No, the units themselves we do own.
Okay.
But because we service the lease agreement.
Okay.
But we try to keep it at about 60 months involvement in the
okay.
park. And that way it's handed back over to the owner specifically, the occupant, and then it gives the control back to the park in a specific time.
Okay. Okay. And at the end of that period, they might be ready for another rehab, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I could keep on going. That's not a bad idea.
Definitely. You guys are breaking that negative connotation that comes with the trailer park homes, really.
Yeah,
We're trying to.
We're working on it.
So now you've been on reserves, and I know you told your story when we first met that you were standing by expecting to be deployed. And that makes it very hard for an employer to look at you. And we had Ted Daywald on here a couple of weeks ago who said the biggest employment problem to veterans is among reservists in the National Guard because they don't know when they're going to be called next.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing that an employer wants to hear is thank you for hiring me, but I'm going to be gone for a year and a half now.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Any problem with that? Yeah. So how did that affect what you're doing, and did that make you realize that you had to go your own way?
Absolutely. We were supposed to deploy a couple months ago, and after we were off-ramped a few months ago, Alex and I unpacked the office and went on what we called a networking blitz. Okay, so we realized that yes, we had to go our own way, and when we went on this blitz, we had an intended goal of connecting to like-minded individuals and creating a resource pool so that we could ramp this mobile home business up, back up. But anyway, during that period, we found the networking groups of veterans and then realized they had so much more to offer and a much more willingness to connect than their civilian counterparts. And so from that, we're now involved with Vet Buds, Habitat for Humanity, the Veteran Coalition.
That's right. Yep.
And the Veterans Chamber of Commerce Atlanta chapter.
Yep.
So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. Another lesson learned out there to listeners around if you don't have, if you can't find a networking group that's veteran centered or veteran centric, what would be the right term? made up of veterans, start your own, right? Because that's basically what we did. So you've got a meetup group going now.
For
entrepreneurs.
Yes, we do. We actually started our own group. We host. It's like a roundtable discussion for veteran entrepreneurs, MVEA or Military Veteran Entrepreneur Association. Mm-hmm. How we came about that idea, we were at a networking meeting strictly for entrepreneurs, and it's set up similar to ours, and said, why don't we just do this for ourselves, for the veterans, And we did, and now we're doing it. And we focus on sharing information, resources, and have like a mutual mentorship for both young and old veteran entrepreneurs,
Good. Well, good. I'm glad they got the old part in there.
Yeah.
So, well, thanks, guys. Now I'm on the landing page. We'll have your contact information, but why don't you go ahead and give people your email or phone number, whatever you'd like to, if they have an interest in contacting you.
You can contact us on Facebook, Sabo, SABOT, Investments, plural, LinkedIn, Sabo Mobile. Meetup. You can go to meetup.com and go to Veteran Entrepreneurs or Veteran Entrepreneurs. Just type that in there, and you can find us and connect with us there.
Very awesome. Good.
Very right. good.
Easy way to do it.
Yeah.
Does anyone ever confuse you guys for a phone company? I'm wondering.
Not yet. But
I'm sure it'll happen.
Good. Well, all right. Thanks, guys. Hang around stick with us, and we'll probably get another chance to come back at you and let you say goodbye to everyone. I want to move now to Brent Williams over here, my non-relative. Brent is, we've gone from mobile home rehab and reconstruction to a completely different industry, but
absolutely.
Still a veteran and entrepreneurial spirit. So, Brent, thank you for coming down. You're from Raleigh.
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about you, your experience and your industry.
Absolutely. As you said, I am from Raleigh. A lot of my business is coming from the Atlanta area and the Raleigh area. It's the two areas that I've chosen to concentrate in. Mm-hmm. I found a good market in both, so I do a lot of traveling. I am an investment advisor. I get to work with business owners and families on ways to plan strategies to protect and build their wealth. Now there's, you know, thousands of investment advisors out there that seem to be, y'all are talking about networking. That's like one of the most common industries it is that you guys run into out there, it seems. So with that being said, I try to set myself apart with being young and being the veteran and tap into that market as to, you know, I take the values that I learned from being in the military and, and the lifestyle that I live there and take that and translate it over to my civilian lifestyle. It just makes sense, you know, having the honor to do what's right, the courage to say it, and the commitment to stay with it.
There you go.
And that's kind of where I've been trying to stay.
Okay. Well, what did you do in the military? Tell us about that. We got the Operation Enduring Freedom guys over here in Iraq, Afghanistan. That's good. But
I was in the Navy, and I was an operations specialist. I was a radar man. I finished the training with that, got all certified in that, and then went to training and got injured. Tore out my rotator cuff, labrum, cartilage. It's a whole laundry list of things that went wrong, and I ended up doing a crypto text job. I was sending and receiving classified messages from my shore side of my helicopter squadron to the sea side of it. Now, with that being said, you work in an office that's more like a closet with no windows. I had to go three keypadded doors to be able to get into my office, and it was just three computers in there and two filing cabinets, and that was about all.
Wow.
So 6 months into it, flash games get old after a while. You know? So me and my partner that I was working with in there got really interested in the stock market. Watching the trades, I'd pull up the tickers, and I'd see all the numbers flashing, and that really got my interest. So I took a couple classes on trading, and that really sparked my interest. So when I got out of the military in December, like December 20th, I believe it was, I was enlisted in college or enrolled in college 17 days later.
Wow, awesome.
That quick. So I knew what it was I wanted to do. I wanted to do something. I wanted to be a stockbroker when I first started.
Okay.
But I didn't quite know what that was when I said
Sounded good. You saw a couple movies.
Yeah, exactly. So I got my degrees in finance and banking and economics with a minor in international business with the hopes of finding this job. And then straight out of college, I got into a job that is allowing me to travel and grow my business and be entrepreneurial. I work with somebody, but basically it's my business on how I grow it, market myself, and get my name out there.
And is this your website, investinyouryourlife.net?
Investinyouryourlife.net is our team's website. That's the whole team of people that it is you get to work on.
Okay.
I'm 27 years old. I haven't been in the industry terribly long. I'm in my second year now. Okay. So when I have the resources that's needed to go to, I have some of the top producing agents and some of the best names that are most recognized in this industry to turn to as a resource. And that's what also helps set me apart when I'm talking with different individuals or talking with different families. I can bring in the resources of, hey, this is exactly what you need. I don't corner myself into saying, this is what you need. This is the plan you need to go with. Oh, wait, what is it you have going on now? So you know, as opposed to talking at somebody,
right.
Talk the time, talk with take them, the time to talk with them.
Okay. Yeah. So how do you how did you view your transition? You know, from the military, you know, operator type of position to where you're at right now.
A big transition. Just from walking in, I was the low ranking, you know, E3 in the military when I got injured, so I didn't have time to advance. And when I walk in, you know, you have do this, do that. If you don't have, you have free time, then go do this again just because I told you to.
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't really developed the ability to think on my own and say, this is what needs to be done and this is the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the transition out of college kind of helped into that. And then I got put in the typical corporate box. This is where you got to think. So being able to think outside of the military box and take my experience there and think outside the corporate box and still find a combination of them all is truly how my transition helped.
Okay. And now you work with clients different income ranges or investment ranges. Tell us about that.
Absolutely, all over the gamut. I have, you know, everybody's dream client that has, you know, the several million dollar account, and I work with the $25,000, $50,000 accounts as well.
Okay.
My interest is genuinely trying to help people and find a way to get in there. I grow my business by helping other people. They feel that. They feel that I genuinely care. I'm actually interested in putting them in a better position and aligning their goals and objectives with a plan of action. So by growing my business and making people feel that, you know, this is what I am for you, please call me, here's my cell phone, call me at any time, I grow just through getting referred around and talking to people that way.
Yeah, it's you know, building a referral network in your industry is a must, I would think.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of trust. It has to be, you're turning over your life savings or your future to, someone trusting them to invest it wisely, right?
That's very true. Most of this business is based off relationships as opposed to the products it is that we offer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now do you encounter military families in transition? And what do you see, some of the challenges that they face?
Absolutely, yes. I work with several military families. Some are already out. Some are about a year away from getting out. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to find the most advantageous way to keep them on the path of saving for retirement or finding ways to be able to fund higher education and still save for their retirement. In some cases, it's a challenge to work through. In some cases, I can't be a miracle worker.
Right.
But also, it's good to have a plan of action as to whether or not I can offer anything. It's my advice, it's my time, and it's my knowledge it is that I have.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So with that being said, I'm able to set up an end goal. If I can help them with the solution I have, that's great. If not, they at least have a road path it is that they need to be able to go down.
So they start saving. Back to it.
Yep. Exactly. They start saving this much for this and then set some aside to be able to get themselves a nice job so they can set aside more later.
So, you jumped right out of the military into college. What about, biggest challenge that you have in your career at this point?
There are a couple things that really challenge my career. One, as I said earlier, is my age. When I'm talking to a little more affluent people, they may not look at what it is they need to look at every day, their finances, but they feel like they know better than me because mm-hmm. they're older than me.
Definitely.
once I get past that barrier, usually it goes one of two ways. After talking to them, they realize I'm genuine. I'm not just trying to mm-hmm. sell them. This is what you need, as I
Good.
Said earlier. Or they just continue to blow me off.
So,
and the second is just people don't want to really take the time to talk about this,
Yeah,
when you're talking about
private, personal kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. When you're talking about your life insurance, you're like, okay, this is something that absolutely needs to be taken care of. I just don't want to deal with it right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you get that. Oh, I've thought about it. I'll just keep putting it off. And then by the time something happens, either something's happened to your health where you can't get insured, or if it's the same thing with retirement, you keep putting it off and all of a sudden you're 5 years out and you need me to wave a magic wand and say, all right, you're healed.
So, I would think it might be challenging on the other end, the younger folks you talk to, when you're talking about, 20 years from now, you're going to have this amount of money, this is the path we'll take to get you there. And they've been out of college a year or 2 years, or maybe just right out of the military, and they're thinking, 20 years, that's forever. I can't wait that long, right?
That's very true. You get that a lot with people our age, the people in this room, and they're making it, and they just start spending it and investing back in their business, which is good if that's what it is you do, or if you don't have your own business and you're still trying to do it. It's just planning. People that I work with are the people that have the foresight to plan. My business model is to have a limited number of clients and just work with them so I can keep the constant communication up and make sure their plan is going. So if they're not going to be that dedicated to themselves, I have a hard time being that dedicated
to
them.
Well, true, true. So, now looking back, was this a career path that you would encourage other people to, in transition to take a look at?
This is if the finance industry is something you're interested in, absolutely, but this is by far one of the hardest sales jobs I think I've ever run into. They say it's your reward is based on the amount of no's you get. So judging by this part of my career, I should be heavily rewarded at some point. So you can always say that you can take rejection. You can take rejection, but a year and a half of a whole lot more no's than yes gets frustrating.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you got to be truly determined to want to succeed and know this is exactly what you want to do. If there's any doubt, then probably not.
Well, I think that's very, very true. But I think it's also true of anything. If anyone out there thinks that, you can just jump into a job and kind of coast, you got a rude awakening coming. Mm-hmm.
You're That's very true.
You're going to have to make a true commitment and really work hard at it. So, as they say, burn the boats and jump in the deep end and all those things, right?
Yeah, that's right. We'll jump off that cliff.
That's right. So, well, Brent, thank you. And people can reach you in Raleigh or on phone or email. What would you prefer?
I have an email. My Atlanta number is 404-857-4344. My team's website is investinyourlife.net. You have access to every resource it is that I have available. I make available to everybody that reaches out to me.
Okay.
And my email address is bwilliams@cap, that's C-A-P, F as in financial, S as in solutions.com.
Good, good. And we'll make sure that your email is on the landing page so that if you know people want to, if they missed that, they can find it easily and reach out to you. So thanks. Great Perfect. Story. Great
Thank
story.
You very much,
well done.
Bill.
Good job. And we'll come back around to you. Let's, you know, talk to Daniel Beverly.
How's it going?
All right. How are you, Dan?
I'm great. I'm great.
Welcome to our show. And you're the guy that I met Brent a couple months ago, and I met Brandon and Alex, you know, a few weeks before that. And you're the new guy.
Yeah, I kind of slipped in there last week. I called you.
Yeah. So, but that's great. It was great timing because, you know, really to put this show together, you know, it really fit in. So.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. I was like, wow, okay. I'll go on the radio, I guess.
Radio? What's that?
I was just trying to network, but I guess I'll go on your show.
Well, we're doing all the above, see?
Yeah, that's great.
So, well, tell us about you, you know, your experience, your military, and you know, we'll learn about your business, too.
Well, I enlisted in the Army in 2006. I saw the movie Black Hawk Down. And I really wanted to shoot machine guns out of helicopters. So I went to the
fun, though.
Yeah. It looked fun in the movies. You
yeah.
know? So I enlisted, but he said I had to be a helicopter mechanic before I do any of that, and there's no guarantee that I'll do
Fort
that.
Rucker.
Yeah. I enlisted as a Black Hawk crew chief, and I ended up getting stationed in Fort Drum, New York. I don't know if any of you guys know that, but it's really cold up there.
Yeah.
And I was the Blackhawk's a utility helicopter, so I ended up going into a medical evacuation unit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no machine guns on a medical evacuation helicopter. But actually, I did that for 3 years, and it was really rewarding.
Definitely.
I went to Iraq as a medical evacuation crew chief, and it was really cool some of the stuff we could do, you know, and totally see, like, how much we actually help people. You could actually gauge it in numbers, and it was really cool. After that, I decided to get out of Fort Drum, and I asked my sergeant at the time, how do I get out of Fort Drum? Because nobody seems to be able to escape that. Nobody wants to be there. So he said, well, son, the only way you can get out of here is if you go special operations. I said, where do I sign up? And I got in contact with the special operation unit in the aviation sector of the Army, which is the 160th, and I'm sure my brothers to the left know a little bit about that, special ops group. And yeah, I did that for 3 years, special operations. I went all over, and I was stationed in Savannah, Georgia. Mm. And that's how I ended up in Atlanta. I'm from Boston, so.
Okay.
Long ways from home.
Well, it's cold in Boston, just like Fort Drum, isn't it?
It is, but there's a different kind of cold up in Fort Drum. It's pretty much Southern Canada up there.
So did you deploy outside the country on special ops?
Yeah, several times. I went all over with them. It was pretty cool.
Okay.
It's really exciting.
And how long did you serve?
6 years. So a total of 6 years. I just got out in September.
Okay.
I had been planning to start my own business for about 3 years now, and I was just really excited to, you know, hit the ground running. It's been quite a lot of work, but it's pretty cool how it all worked out.
Oh, very good. Very good. So, you know, well, you said you've been thinking about you're starting your own business for 3 years. What drew you to being an entrepreneur, being a business owner, and start there?
You know, I kind of
from Fort Rucker to entrepreneur. You know.
I was kind
it took
of
took me a lot more many years than it did you. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I was up for the challenge. I've always been kind of a little bit going against the grain, and you know, 6 years of getting bossed around, I say I want to boss people around. Little did I know that you know it's actually easier just being an employee, but. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I just want to make my own way and hopefully make it a opportunity for other veterans that get out, maybe be able to give them some jobs too.
Yep.
Definitely.
Okay, and are you the founder of Atlanta? Where is it? Atlanta Commercial Relocation Specialist? Are you the founder?
Me and I have a co-partner.
Okay.
It's Brad Kaufman. He's actually been in this industry for about 10 years. He's third generation. Really knows the ins and outs. I dabbled in it before I joined the military, and we actually just ended up linking up kind of randomly. I did his sister.
Okay.
And we're having a child together, and I said, hey, I want to, you know, start a business. And we said, let's do this together. And he's a go-getter. I'm a go-getter. There's really no stopping us.
Excellent. Wow. Excellent. So how long have you had the business now?
We started forming it in September, but officially you could say about 3 months now.
Okay, so another real early startup. But
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Good. So you're you know, at 3 months, you're probably kicking back already and, you know, 10 hours a week, right? That's it, right? Like these guys are.
Yeah, I mean, I usually just come in for about a half an hour, yeah, and then I go home and, you know.
Golf.
Just,
golf. Fish heaven over here.
I have about an hour after I get out of work to eat and go to bed before I have to go to work again. So.
I know the feeling.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yep.
It's pretty rewarding, though, when you really start to build your pipeline and all that hard work starts to pay off.
Yep.
You're getting phone calls. You're getting emails. It's a pretty good feeling, definitely.
So have you now, are you covering all the bases? Are you doing the business development side? Are you doing operations? In 3 months of old a company, you're probably doing pretty much everything, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, Brett has, you know, was kind of – he has the experience where we can kind of switch the contacts over to what we're doing now. So I definitely had a head start. I was very lucky in that aspect that – you know, if I didn't have him, then maybe I would be – I'm pretty much 10 years behind the curve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could kind of negate that by teaming up with him. But, yeah, we I do operations and marketing, mostly on the government side. And he does the CFO job and the appraisals and walkthroughs.
Okay.
All the really intimate knowledge of the industry he needs to do. I can't really –
yeah, you haven't learned that yet.
Yeah, I can't really go walk through a 300-person office and say, this is the price for the job. Yeah, yeah. It's a quick way to tank a company. So, okay.
Tell us more. I mean, commercial relocation, that's a very descriptive name of the company, but tell us a little more detail about what you actually do.
Yeah, well, commercial relocation, when I tell people that, they say, what? What is that? People don't realize that, you know, large companies, maybe they get too big for their britches in the building, you know, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
They start with a small business office and then they have too many employees, too much product, too much supply. They need to get out of there. Once their lease is up, they say, well, how do we get out of here? You know, it's a big project to pull off. And that's kind of what it is, moving government agencies, employees in and out of into commercial real estate buildings. There's a lot of things that need to be checked off the block for that to make it happen in a seamless manner.
And so you're working really with for-profit. Well, I wouldn't say just for-profit, but you may end up with the non-profit organizations too.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah, we do some non-profit organizations as well.
Yeah, but business locations, not the residential side.
No residential side. Yeah, it's just strictly corporate and government agency.
Yep.
Stuff like that. You know, project management is what we deem it, but we do office relocations, office furniture installation, warehousing and storage. If they're moving out,
downsizing.
They need to get some of the stuff out of the building, but they're not ready to move in their new location.
So you have storage facilities as well?
Yeah, we have tons of storage areas, document purging. We find a lot in this industry these days that companies were in the manner of having small offices locked in, kind of segregated offices. Everybody had their own little spot, you know.
Yep.
And now they're trying to move into more open workspaces that are, promote teamwork and brainstorming with low cubicle walls instead of everybody being shut off and no collaboration, So they're kind of doing that. They're trying to move out of all their the paperwork they have is all digital now, and they've just been storing it for years. And they want to, they're trying to. It's kind of evolving, and they need help with that transition.
Kind of going around, you see, old photographs of companies in the 20s and 30s and 40s. You know, there were just row after row of desks. There wasn't any partitions. And then we went to the partitions that went up, close to the ceiling, and now it's coming back around with more of that collaboration thing.
Yeah, it's kind of a natural evolution.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So, now you are a service-disabled veteran business owner.
Yeah, absolutely. What that means is obviously you were disabled in your military service. I was in a helicopter crash in 2009 in northern Iraq. Messed up my back and my shoulder pretty bad. And I didn't really know what that really meant at the time. After I did more research on it with the benefits, with the federal government stuff, with contract procurement.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
It could be an advantage to get government contracts, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, you got there's not just disabled veterans. You got women-owned businesses and 8A, which is socially economic disadvantaged businesses, and Hub Zone, which is the area the business is located and the employees if it's a historically underutilized business area. So they recognize them. as well as disabled veterans, all in that little group. Hey, you know, maybe you guys, you deserve a little bit more of a push mm-hmm. than the average Joe. And they did that by giving 3% of their government contracting should be going to small businesses with their owned by disabled veterans.
Yeah, right. And have you found success getting, you know, helping you get in the door for federal offices getting that allocation to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, it's the 3% law for federal subcontracting is it's just a recommendation.
Yeah,
which is okay. And unfortunately, disabled veteran-owned businesses, there's just not that many of them. As opposed to others that are trying for these contracts. So they almost always miss the mark and don't actually get 3%. So mm-hmm. as far as opening doors, yes, they love to, you know, talk to us and see what we have to offer. And it's great. You know, it's pretty cool.
That's good. But I don't think anybody should be encouraged to go crash a helicopter to get into that designation, right? I mean,
yeah, you shouldn't do that. Yeah. It's not really
it's called a hard landing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a famous term. It's a hard landing.
That's right.
It's not a crash, it's a hard landing. Yeah, don't crash a helicopter, but, you know, if it does happen. You know, my it wasn't always the easiest transition. My last year was very rough with all the surgeries.
And sure.
It wasn't that easy, and I felt a little bit down about it when I was getting out, and I kind of overcame that, and now I'm trying to give back and try to hire veterans and show guys that are having a hard time getting out if they're wounded or psychologically or physically, you know, hey, you know, I know it's tough, but you can do it. Look at me. Yep. Lean on me. I'll lean on you. And we'll get through this together, just like in the service.
Yep. The team spirit again. Yep. Brandon, I think we need to draft him into the Habitat for Humanity project. Yeah. So
I'd be honored.
We'll be more networking here if for you.
Yeah, I got in the right group for sure.
That's right.
This networking thing.
We got you, man.
Yeah.
So now I understand you also have a kind of a mission that you're on, because the state of Georgia in particular, and probably this applies to other states, you know, doesn't really have that allocation formally for disabled veteran-owned businesses, right?
Yeah, they didn't. I was actually surprised to hear, because, Georgia's such a heavily militarized state, mm-hmm. 13 military bases in Georgia. That's a lot.
Yes.
It's a lot of veterans, and they pride themselves on being one of the most veteran-friendly states, which they are. However, when you ask the question, what are they doing for disabled veteran-owned business owners? And the answer, unfortunately, right now is nothing at all. Hmm. They recognize other groups, which I believe they should, but mm-hmm. I think that if any group is going to get a special advantage when it comes to contract procurement, I think that disabled veterans have definitely earned the right to be included in that group.
Absolutely.
So I'm trying, you know, I'm emailing people, calling the right people. I wrote in a few letters to senators and a congressman, and just trying to work my networking channels and trying to get the ball rolling. And, you know, it's uphill battle, but I think, you know, the cause is noble. And the more successful a disabled veteran-owned business is in the state, you know, the more veterans can find jobs in that, because I know that we're all veteran-owned business owners here, and we're more likely to hire a veteran, you know. And I really feel like, you know, I say, why not? I call them. I say, well, you know, why don't you guys recognize disabled veterans? A lot of states do. Florida does. And they say, I don't know. Nobody's ever asked me that before.
Okay. Well, we've had some people on our show.
We have, definitely.
That are definitely going to get in contact.
We could help out with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
Yeah.
I need all the help I get.
Yeah.
We love to help. That's why we're here.
That's right. That's right. How the magic happens around this radio show, or all radio shows here at Business Radio X. So, well, Dan, thanks you. Thank you very much. Thank you for your service. And I'm glad you took my little dig about helicopter hard landing in the right manner that was intended.
Probably. I hear it all the time. It's fine. So. You can laugh about it now. You know, it's funny.
Yep. Well, the medevac, they don't call them dust-offs.
They do, yeah.
Do they still call them dust-offs?
That's dedicated service to our fighting forces. Yeah, they're very big, you know, it's a big, proud tradition right there.
Yeah.
When I have your wounded, I don't know if you know the story behind that, but the first medevac pilot to ever be killed in action, he wouldn't leave a hot LZ in Vietnam, and they told him to leave, and he said, I will when I have your wounded, and that was his last word before he got shot to death while he was sitting on the ground,
Yeah.
So it's a cool tradition.
Yeah, we had a recovery unit in helicopter recovery unit in Nam, and so we had crews that would go out on a ship that was down and secure the LZ and then, you know, bring in a, either a Chinook or sometimes a crane.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see those. Or you, Chinooks are still in the inventory, yes. But cranes are long gone. But
yeah.
To pull out a ship that went in.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, anyway, I don't want to focus on that. So, anyway, well, thank you. So, what, you know, plans for the future? You know, where are you going with, you know, with your business? And you know, we've got guys over here who want a franchise. You know, Brent's building a financial empire. You know, so where are you going with it?
You know, right now I'm just trying to get my hooks into the Atlanta, Georgia area, and hopefully I can make it, you know, nationwide eventually. I mean, we do service contracts out of state, but I like to have multiple locations, honestly, over across the nation. And franchising is something that I kind of dabble with. I'm not totally sure about the whole thing right now, but you know, I just want to build my business, make it strong, and help out as many veterans as I can, because a lot of veterans have helped me out in the last couple of months when I was not always, you know, feeling doubtful about myself. Someone would just pick me up and say, hey, you know, I got this, look at me, and I want to do that for somebody else, you know, trying to pay it forward.
Very good. Very good. That's a great message to our audience out there.
It's inspirational.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you.
Thank you.
So appreciate you coming in. Guys, we'll go around the table one more time. We're about to, you know, close down the show here. Brandon, Alex, you know, anything you'd like to add to what you said earlier?
Jump on the collaborative thing. We're also working on a collaborative project with a company called ASAS High, and we're creating a platform, like a one-stop shop for everything veteran. It's at www.bandofsoldiers.com, and it includes a social media app strictly for veterans. So we're working on that right now, and to contact us, www.saboinvestments.com. Take us to a landing page and all the ways to contact us.
Okay, and we'll have that Band of Soldiers on the landing page as well. So
yeah,
that's going to be there. So okay. Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Brent, you know, thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. It was really good to be able to hear everybody's different perspectives and the stories that y'all came with. I'm very similar to Dan's here and how he came up with the injured military veterans. So I'd love to talk to you, you know, offline, off air, as to what it is we could do about that together and see if we could join forces. Your social media platform is something that is also very interesting. It's something I want to learn more about that could serve quite a few people.
Mm-hmm,
there is definitely not enough resources being poured into the veteran organization or the injured veteran organization. It doesn't really matter how you look at it. So if we can all pull together, you know, our jobs will create the jobs in the future for those that will get out soon.
Absolutely.
And there's, you know, there's 200,000 a year, you know, leaving active duty. You know, over the next several years. So there'll be a lot of people coming out, a lot of people choosing the entrepreneur path, and, you know, that's where we want to help them. So good. Guys, thank you all very much.
Yeah,
appreciate it. You know, good show. You know, we are advocates for business ownership among veterans, and the National Veteran-Owned Business Association, I mentioned earlier, defines a veterpreneur as someone who establishes a veteran who establishes and manages a business. And we've got, you know, I'm looking across the table at several of them right now. So, but our goal here is to promote business ownership among veterans and to, you know, help them in any, help folks in any way that we can, provide information, education to grow that entrepreneur spirit. So, thanks for being here, guys. And Kevin.
It's a pleasure.
Same time next week?
Definitely. I'll be here.
That's right. And wave at the camera. So, all right. And we'll see you same time, same place next week.